right now it is time to bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys with Appraise This. You can always find them on the web at tqag.com. And we say good morning and happy new year to Tim and Greg.
Happy new year.
Hey, good morning. Happy new year.
Yeah, 2022. I was sleeping at home the other night and the phone rang. Late at night, for me, late at night. And who was on the other end of the line? Barkley Prindle. It was great to speak. Bark and Amy, of course, are in the warmer climes. And the first question I have to ask was, do you still have animals? And he goes, do you have to ask?
Right.
But anyways, it was great to hear from Barkley and Amy.
Yes. So. That's great.
So now, we are on January 4th. It is... coming up next, I think January 11th, Americana Week at Christie's. And they've got a whole bunch of American art. They've got, I don't know how this fits in because it's Americana Week, Chinese export porcelain. But anyways, is this a big type of auction, this Americana Week thing?
Oh, I've never been to the Americana Week. I'm wondering if it's tied in also with Asian Week, because that might be the connection there between.
Well, no, that's next. I think that's next month. I think that's in February or March is when they do the big Asian sales. But Americana Week is great. And I've been in New York for that. Remember, Greg, you weren't able to go, but we met up with the people from Wheeling.
And
we went to Christie's, we went to Sotheby's, we went to the big Americana sales. And this is it's a time just like when, if you think about when we talk about this in May and in November when they do the big art sales in New York, this would be the big Americana sales. And things that were popular in that time period, early American furniture and furnishings, and be why they're also saying Chinese export, because there was a number of pieces which would be different from Asian Week, where you have a lot of different time period items. So I think it's looking at the time period as well and how it affected collecting and what people had in their homes.
You know, I looked at one of the, and it surprised me. I guess I don't know why, but it did. A Woman with Pink Ribbons by Amy Phillips. They estimate that's going to bring in anywhere from $800,000 to $1.2 million.
Yeah.
And that's quite a bit of money, isn't it, for Americana paintings?
Yeah, yes.
Well, Americana is kind of the it's been a little on the under the radar for a while. There was a period about just before we moved down to Florida, so this would have been in the late 90s, where the Americana were really, the market was really, really hot. And now it doesn't seem to be as hot, but the quality of the items that are being sold are still, a lot of them are from private collections, and it's still kind of the best of the best. But the market seems to be taking a turn over the past couple of years, because we've noticed we've noticed some of the things like I can't even think of it right now, on top of the barn, the
weather vanes,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Things like that are and also oddly enough 19th century porcelain seems to be a little on the uprise. So I think Americana Week has always been kind of an important week of the season, which is just starting, this week. So it'll be fun to follow because I have them bookmarked because I like silver. And there's a lot of silver in this week.
You know, that first painting I was talking about surprised me. And the second thing that surprises me is the next item I found, and that is the Plan of the City of New York by Bernard Ratzler. And that estimate is $300,000 to $500,000. I thought that would probably estimate a little bit higher.
Well, again, these auction estimates are marketing tools. So that's, you know, if you're thinking that, so are a lot of other people. And they're thinking, oh, there's a possibility. I mean, I think that it probably will surpass or should surpass $1 million, you would think. But these plans, they don't come up that often. They're pieces that are unique. And especially if you're a developer or architect or, you know, in real estate, especially in real estate in New York, I mean, there are a number of people that would love to have something like this, just have the bragging rights of the city plans of the early New York City.
It's funny. And then just one other thing is a piece of furniture called the Federal Red Painted and Polychrome Decorated piece of furniture from the collection of Peter and Barbara Goodman. And this is a really nice looking piece. And I guess if I was a collector of Americana, I would bid on this because the estimate is only like $70,000 to $90,000. Oh, listen to me now. Only.
Listen to me.
Yeah.
Chump chains.
I'm telling you, only.
See how we've changed your mind?
Well, you see all these prices, and you really, when you see something that's only in the tens of thousands of dollars, it seems like, you know, like if you go to a store and you see something that's $799, and then you see something that's $1099, that's the way it feels when you see these other prices that are so high.
Right. Yeah, for some of those. And it's interesting because especially for Americana furniture, those pieces, you know, have really, just like all the other areas of furniture, the market has shown a downward progression. So, you know, when desirable, rare things that you don't see that often come up, then, you know, the auction is the best way because it inspires a lot of bidding. But it'll be interesting to see what the furniture actually sells for. This past year, I've been noticing, and I think Greg has too, is that their prices have been pretty steady in areas that were downward trending. And I think that is probably because more and more people are coming into and learning about the auction, and how to access auctions have become so much easier. But we are going through, you know, we're going through another generational change, and it'll be interesting to see what the next couple of years bring as far as what becomes hotter in the marketplace. Will sneakers continue to to command large prices? I do believe so. I think we'll see. We just saw a comic book auction where, you know, a comic book broke over $2 million. So I think that there's various levels of the marketplace that are evolving. And when you have these older items, like, you know, the Americana pieces, this is why they continue to market this as, here is a week of some of the best and some of the freshest to market items, that's what they save those items for. So it should be interesting.
All right, now I'm going to ask you guys this question. What was the number one piece of art painting that was sold in auction during 2021?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to name the piece, just name the artist.
Basquiat.
Nah.
No. It was,
cheating. He's cheating.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
Picasso.
I was going to say Picasso. But it was a toss-up because there were a couple that sold really high.
$103.4 million.
Yes.
For Femme Assist Presidente Finney's, whatever it is. But really, $103.4 million. But don't feel bad, folks, because if I scroll down to the number 10 painting, but I've got a surprise for you here that I'm not sure that you're aware of. The 10th ranked painting is a Jason Pollock called Number 17, and that went for over $61 million.
Huh.
So, I mean, those are all pretty high prices. But what really surprised me was a painting called Beeple, Birthdays, the First 5,000 Days.
Yeah.
That was minted in February of 2021. That went for almost $70 million.
Yeah, and that's
the digital image one.
That is. I was going to say that's the nifty. That's the NFT. Yes. I know. But you don't see any other nifties in the top 10, do you?
No. But I'm surprised that one. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I am surprised that one cracked it at 60.
Marshall, that was the first one. Okay. So that, like we always say, it's the first and the last. So the first one generates a lot, and people are like, "Oh my gosh!" And you know, I remember us talking about that last year, and no others have surpassed it. Others have sold for, you know, but I think that it peaks and then the market kind of adjusts as to where things are going to sell.
It's interesting to see that the varied paintings that are out there. One by Mark Rothko, which was painted in 1951, sold for a little over $80 million, and that's what I actually like and kind of understand. It's called Number 7. I just like the color palette of it. I don't know what type of painting you would call it because I have no idea. But it's just interesting when you look at the different works of the different artists, and this is just assembled through Christie's, and the amount of money that was spent on these top 10 is enough to run a country for a year.
Oh yeah. Most definitely.
At least this country. Our house. I mean, we. That's what we. That's our budget for the year, anyway. So, I just the painting. Like for example, Rothko. He's become one of my favorite artists, just because I just not for any other reason than as you had mentioned you like the colors, but there's just something, I don't know, I can't quite put my finger on it, why he appeals to me so much, but if I had a choice between Mark Rothko and a Jackson Pollock, I think I might actually go with Mark Rothko.
It's funny, I like both of them. I like the Pollock one. It's a little more active, but I like that a lot. I mean, speaking to you both now about this, do you guys have favorite artists that you look at?
Honestly, I do like Picasso, and I never used to, I'll be honest, until I got into the industry and started seeing all of these great works in people's private collections. And there's just something about his work that, it does transcend time. We've seen a number of his exhibitions when they've been touring around, and it never fails to pull you in. And for me, that's one of the things I like most about Picasso is that he catches you at the beginning, and then the more you look at it, the more you get hooked. So I would have to say my favorite is probably Picasso.
What about you, Tim?
Yeah, I would say Andy Warhol is that's just, I look at Andy Warhol and then also the Van Gogh. There's a number of Van Gogh pieces that are just, you know, they're just wonderful. And I was in, especially with both Van Gogh and Andy Warhol, very different artists, but when I worked at Christie's, you know, to be able to get so up close and personal with them, that was really wonderful. And then in our appraisals, not that we see Van Gogh, but we see a lot of Andy Warhol. And when we do travel and we've gone to museums, we always look for the Van Gogh, the Andy Warhol, there's several. But those are the two that I really just really still just love, follow. If there's a news story about it, I've got to check it out.
I have to laugh because somewhere in my collection, and it's probably not worth a lot of money, but I have a Peter Max belt, an original Peter Max belt. Mm-hmm. My mother bought me, because I was a big Vietnam protester, okay? My mother bought me she didn't like me. I was going to wear an American flag and as a coat. She didn't want me to do that, so she bought me a suede, red, white, and blue jacket. But she also bought me a Peter Max belt, red, white, and blue. I probably have it somewhere. I don't think it's probably worth a lot of money, but I'd love to find it and search it and see and to see what it's worth. So I do have a Peter Max belt. I think that's the one thing I have somewhere in my mother's house or somewhere. It wouldn't fit me now because it was a size 38 back then.
That's what it is. I'm trying to look right now and I don't see. Just doing a quick search. I don't see anything on Live Auctioneers, but interesting. But you know, Peter Max licensed a lot of his images, especially in the 70s and 80s, and even into the 90s. Actually, he's still pretty prolific. So
I found one on eBay. They want $295 for it.
Oh, there you go.
I really think my mother paid something like $20 for it. Well, anyway, so we'll wrap this up. What's the first couple of weeks of the new year look for you guys?
Busy.
I'm working on the first estate of the year.
You've got several estates. We've got a number of things. We're also being very... I'm not traveling. I'm trying not to travel because of all the crazy with what's going on out there. But we'll start getting on the road toward the end of January, where I'll be traveling to some of these large collections that we're setting up and doing some big projects. So we're just kicking off the year right off the bat.
All right. Well, guys, happy new year, and I'll speak to you next week.
That sounds great. Happy week. New year, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraises here on Robinhood Radio. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.